presented by DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
Happy game week, everybody. I am so excited about the start of the 2019 season, and we're going to talk a lot today and a lot throughout the week about Georgia Vanderbilt. But I want to begin, though, where you might have had your attention on Saturday night with Florida, one of Georgia's top rivals, I believe Georgia's number one rival, certainly its chief competition in the SEC East, how they prepared and performed against Miami in the week zero opener. And I got some messages on Twitter Saturday night that said, oh, BA's going to have a blast. Last on Monday, he's going to be licking his chops for the chance to take a few jabs at Florida for what I think we would all admit was a pretty ugly performance for the Gators. And yes, I am relatively easy to predict when it comes to that kind of thing. I am going to have some fun today. In fact, and I apologize to radio and podcast audience for kind of a video only thing here, but if you look on your screen, Sean Golden, the former Georgia basketball player, gave me one of these on Saturday. You can get these at Universities Forever and Coming. That's where we were this past Saturday. I'm going to put this right here. It's a digitized Gator hater sign to go along with Eddie's kind of more old school low tech thing. We'll do a digitized Gator hater sign. Now this is moving, so hopefully this isn't going to be like like a strobe effect for people who have issues with that. So if this is doing something weird to your screen, y'all let me know and we'll try to prevent that from happening. But at the very least, I wanted you to be able to enjoy that here today, and I wanted to be able to talk about what goes down on Saturday with Florida in kind of an ugly win against Miami. I mean, it is a win. You'll give the Gators credit for that. But nonetheless, an ugly win versus Florida. And I think that from the perspective of a Georgia fan here, I think there are two big takeaways that Georgia fans ought to have from this. And I think that both of them are really, really good. First of all, I think that you love the idea of the comparison between Smart and Mullen right now. This could not work out any better for Georgia fans to see the kind of game face that Kirby Smart walks around with on a 365-day basis compared to the sort of more, I guess, goofy demeanor. I don't really know how else to say it. They were playing in Orlando, so goofy seems like an appropriate descriptor here. The goofy demeanor that Mullen puts forth. Let me give you a couple examples of this. Let's go back to July, SEC Media Day. When Kirby Smart, who, I mean, a lot of coaches having achieved the success that Kirby's achieved through 2 years, I mean, he went to the college football playoff in his second year as a coach at UGA. That's a pretty rare feat to be able to accomplish. A lot of coaches would take a victory lap on that. A lot of coaches would pat themselves on the back and talk about how good things have been, especially with, the growing pressure to win a national championship. Some coaches might try to deflect when it comes to that kind of thing. Kirby Smart did not do that back then. Kirby Smart was serious about what he wants to see Georgia do next. Here's a reminder from Smart back in July.
We understand how close we've been to taking the next step, and although 24-5 the last two seasons is good, it's not good enough. It's not where we expect to be at the University of Georgia.
So that's where Kirby Smart says, hey, what we've done thus far, even though we've beaten Florida two straight years, even though we won the SEC East for two straight years, even though we've been to the college football playoff, even though we've won the Rose Bowl, that's not good enough. And if you're a Georgia fan, that's what you want. You want a coach that's not easily satisfied. You want a coach that's not going to rest on his laurels too easily. You're going to want a coach who's hungry for more. Now, make this comparison for a moment. Kirby Smart saying, no, I'm here to do more. Do more means winning more than we have over the last 3 years. Well, listen to how happy Mullen is by comparison on the heels of a 24-20 win against Miami, not covering the spread, against a program that's essentially looking a rebuild down the barrel right now. This is a Miami team that's starting a brand new quarterback, brand new head coach, a mess along the offensive line. Listen to how happy Mullen was after this game on Saturday night by comparison.
I'm going to tell you what, though. What a game. What atmosphere. College football's back. This is the best. I love our guys. You had some veteran guys not flinch. We made a lot of mistakes, a lot of things we can coach off of and clean up, and we found a way to win, which was fantastic. I'm really proud of our guys.
I'm sorry. I mean, that's too happy for me from a game against in which your team didn't play particularly well. You had pinned your entire hopes over the course of the offseason on Felipe Franks. You'd been talking in media stuff as recently as a week ago about how, oh, wait till y'all see Franks. I know you saw him last year, maybe didn't look all that good, but behind closed doors, you won't believe the level of improvement he's undergone. And then on the field, we didn't really see that with our own eyes very much on Saturday night, but nonetheless, Mullen's just happy to have college football back and talking about about how great the atmosphere was there at Camping World Stadium. Once again, another comparison. Kirby Smart just last week. We're getting close to the start of the season. On paper, Georgia appears to have a much better team than Florida does. But the kind of happiness that you hear from Mullen, you don't hear any of that from Kirby right now. He is ready to go. He's got his game face on. Kirby again.
I said do more is what I actually said. So when you go 24-5, we want to do more. And that's really what the mantra is. 24-5, we want to do more. I mean, if we were 29-0, I would say that we needed to win the other ones by more. So it's never enough. I mean, you show me a person that's satisfied with what they've done, and they're done. It's called retired. So that's just not the way I look at things, and that's not the way that this program's going to be run, that you're in constant pursuit of excellence, not perfection. And we're trying to be excellent.
So Kirby says, you show me a person who's satisfied with what they've done, and that person is done. In other words, insinuating that the great coaches, the best coaches, are not going to be satisfied. The great coaches, the best coaches, are going to have an insatiable appetite for achievement, and they're not going to settle for meager achievements. The guy that is happy with a meager achievement, the guy that does settle for what he's done, that guy is essentially done. Well, keep that in mind as you hear Dan Mullen say this.
We found a way to finish the game, found a way to win. Man, this is awesome. What a great atmosphere. College football's back. I love it.
Man, this is awesome, he says. College football's back. I mean, listen, those four clips right there, two from Kirby, two from Mullen. Mullen, of course, both came from Saturday night. One from Kirby came from last week. The other one came from July. To me, they could not accentuate the difference between these two coaches any more than they do. Kirby Smart's a business traveler. By comparison, Dan Mullen's a tourist. Mullen's just happy about the atmosphere. He loves to see the sights. I mean, he's in Orlando for the same reason virtually everybody goes to Orlando. He wants his picture taken with Mickey Mouse. He wants to just smile and laugh and have a good time, and whatever goes on is okay. His quarterback throws a dangerous interception late in the game. That's all right. We're going to pin our hopes on this guy. Kirby Smart, by comparison, is on the road to close the deal. That's the way that he heads towards Nashville on Saturday night, and that's the way that he heads towards every game that Georgia's going to play this season. These two coaches could not be more different right now, and the difference that Smart brings to the table is the advantage that Georgia holds when these two teams get ready to play each other come later on in November. Now, let me make one more quick point on this game, then I want to move on and talk solely about Georgia here for a few minutes as well. There is another thing about what happened on Saturday night that I think that Georgia fans should take some great comfort in. And listen, y'all know around here, I don't toot my own horn very much. I don't brag about our numbers. I don't brag about our revenue. I don't brag about anything that Dog Nation Daily does. I'll just let the program kind of speak for itself. And I'm also not going to brag about the fact that heading into this game on Saturday for the last few days, last few weeks, last few months, I essentially described exactly what would happen in this game. I said that Florida does have a good pass rush. You got to give them credit for that. They had, what, 10 sacks? I said Florida's still going to have a shaky quarterback no matter what Dan Mullen tries to tell you during the offseason. Franks threw two interceptions. Miami's a rebuilding program, so Florida may get the win, but it might not be pretty. And that's exactly the way this thing went down on Saturday night. What this goes to show you is that for all the assumptions we want to make from time to time about how college football is so wild and unpredictable and almost anything can happen, the truth is, the sport's never been easier to predict than it is right now. Now, if you really get granular with the point spreads and the over-unders and things like that, you can get tricked up and tripped up by the variance from time to time. I'm not telling you should invest your mortgage in betting on this stuff. That's not what I'm saying. But generally speaking, from 10,000 feet, this game has never been easier to predict than it is right now. The team with the best players has an overwhelming advantage in every game that it plays, and there is only so much magic that a coach can bring to the table. And there are a lot of people around the media that have you believe that Mullen's some sort of magical coach. You've heard him called like a quarterback whisperer in the past. For the most part, that's myth-making. For the most part, that doesn't exist anywhere in college football, and it certainly doesn't exist with Dan Mullen. This is a team of slightly above average talent. This is a team that's going to face a slightly difficult schedule, and as I've been saying now for quite some time, this is a team at the end of the year that's going to finish unranked. I got blistered on Twitter from some people on Saturday night when I said that because they assumed that I was overreacting to what I'd seen in week zero. But those of you who are with us each and every day here on Dog Nation Daily, you know that I'm simply responding to what I've predicted would happen for months and months and months. Georgia's going to face some challenges this year. Those challenges don't come from the SECs, certainly does not come from Florida. What we saw on Saturday night was evidence of what most of us have believed going back since the start of the calendar year, at least. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Hello to you, and thanks for being with us live on video today, 10 a.m., Dog Nation Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. We're on the radio at noon, of course, on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref. And we're available as a podcast wherever you find them, including the world-famous DogNation.com. Just really glad to have you with us today as a part of Dog Nation Daily, and really excited to have you as a part of our Dog Nation coverage all week long here as we head towards the start of Georgia season on Saturday against Vanderbilt. Obviously, the Kirby Smart press conference will come up. I'm doing the show live right now around 10:30 in the morning. The Kirby Smart press conference will come up about an hour and a half or so from right now, so plenty of coverage on that at DogNation.com and on the Dog Nation video channel, so make sure you stay tuned for a whole lot more on that throughout the week. In a minute or so as well, we'll talk to our buddy John Stinchcomb as well. We will chat with him about everything that is kind of going on for Georgia as it heads towards the start of this season coming up on Saturday. That's going to be really fun stuff. Let me do something before we get there, though. There was obviously some kind of bad news for Georgia over the course of the weekend. You may have seen, is that the right verb tense for that? You may have seen that Georgia freshman defensive lineman Bill Norton was arrested on a couple of alcohol-related charges, including suspicion of DUI. And, you know, listen, this is obviously not the kind of news you want to have from a player as you head towards the start of the season. The fact that Norton is not necessarily, you know, close to being on the two deep for Georgia right now doesn't do much to change that. I'm very serious about when drunk driving. I think that's the kind of thing. Alcohol and driving, I don't think they mix together at all. And so this is the kind of thing I do take seriously, and you hope that whatever led to Norton making this choice that he's apparently made, you hope that he gets what he needs to understand how to make a better choice in the situation that he's in next time. And I can't imagine there's anybody watching or listening right now that views this situation any differently than that. This is not the kind of thing you throw him away over, but it is the kind of thing that he needs to learn from. Maybe there's a lesson here for the entire in the entire team. That downtown Athens scene continues to be a huge, huge temptation, a magnet that draws young men towards it. That's been true for, I don't know, 50 years. It's going to be true for another 100 years, I reckon. And knowing how to manage that, knowing how to manage everything that goes along with that is just part of the process. I will say this, though. It does kind of remind me a little bit of something that Saban once said a long time ago, and typically there's not a ton that Nick Saban says that I agree with, but when it comes to issues like these, sort of small issues that pop up from time to time, recoverable offenses. You know, these are the kinds of things that I'm reminded of when Nick Saban has challenged the media in the past of, what would you have me do with a guy that runs afoul of the law, even in such a situation like this where no one is going to condone drunk driving or driving involving any kind of alcohol whatsoever. No one's going to condone that at all, and yet you are left to say, well, what do you do with a guy like Bill Norton or a guy that may have gotten in trouble back during spring practice or any of the things that kind of go on with Georgia in this regard? Here is one instance where I think that Nick Saban actually makes a pretty good bit of sense. Do you remember from the past when Saban has said this?
There's always a lot of criticism out there when somebody does something wrong. Everybody wants to know, how are you going to punish the guy? All right, but there's not enough for 19 and 20-year-old kids, people out there saying, why don't you give them another chance? All right, so I'm going to give a speech right now about this. Like, where do you want them to be? Guy makes a mistake. Where do you want them to be? You want them to be in the street? Or do you want them to be here graduating?
Yeah, so listen, I think that Saban makes a lot of sense when he says stuff like that, and I think a lot of you would probably agree with that there as well. There's this temptation to say, ooh, well, what are people going to think about host of Dog Nation Daily if you sort of vouch for second chances for guys who kind of get in a little bit of trouble? The honest truth is I don't care what anybody thinks. And I think actually one of the things that's more admirable about Saban than not here is the fact that he doesn't really kind of care about that kind of stuff sometimes either. I am for second chances. I think the college is a time to learn, and hopefully for a guy like Norton, who's the latest to kind of deal with a situation like this, hopefully he'll get a chance to learn from kind of where he misstepped here on this one. And my guess is there's still plenty of time for him to put this behind him and go on to have a much more successful career at Georgia and a much more successful college life as well, because let's face it, these kinds of real life learning experiences are a big part of the college process there as well. Before we bring on John Stinchcomb, let me remind you about my friends at Kroger. You know, this upcoming weekend is not just the start of the college football season, it's also Labor Day weekend. Many of you are excited about that. Well, you can make Labor Day Flavor Day with help from our friends at Kroger. Everything you need for the cookout or the pool party, whatever you're doing to kind kind of say goodbye to the end of summer, you can find right there at Kroger, including half-pound boneless New York strip loin, it's a half-boneless New York strip loin, only $5.99 a pound with a card. Also, you can big savings on Coke products, hot dogs, and of course the drumsticks as well, those popsicle things that the kids like. My kids love them. You can get big savings on those at Kroger as well. So make sure you check that out. Our friends at Kroger getting you ready for Labor Day next weekend. That's going to be some really good stuff. All right, we got a preview coming up of the big weekend in college football. We'll get to that later on. But on Mondays, you've come to expect our buddy John Stinchcomb. Let's get ready to talk to him right now.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
Always fun to have John Stinchcomb as a part of Dog Nation Daily here today. Really appreciate him spending some time with us. We're a little late getting to him, so I apologize for that. But good to have him on the show nonetheless. John, hope you had a great weekend. Thanks for being with us. And I know you're just like the rest of us, excited about seeing Georgia on the field this upcoming Saturday.
It's finally here. Now, the wait is over. We finally get to see the Dogs in action. There's been so much talk and excitement, and I'm sure, like most Dog Nation, we just can't wait to see what the Dogs look like in this 2019 season.
So let me get a thought from you on this. Georgia opens as a 21-point favorite. On the one hand, that seems a little low to me because I don't think much of Vanderbilt, and I think that Georgia should be fine in this road spot. There are going to be 20,000 Georgia fans there at least. This is not the kind of environment that I think is going to be all that challenging for them. And yet, John, at the same time, you've got DeAndre Swift, who has a little bit of an uncertain health situation right now, just based on the entirety of the scuttlebutt that's gone on with him over the last couple of weeks. You've got Zamir Wyatt coming off two ACL injuries over the last couple of years, and then kind of a new-look wide receiver core that may involve freshmen more later on the season, but having those guys ready to go week one, maybe that's too big of an ask for Georgia right now. So with all that in mind, how much do you think Georgia wants to come out and put its foot on the gas on Saturday? How much of this do you think Kirby Smart's content just to let an easy win stand on its own and kind of move on from there? How motivated, in other words, do you think Georgia is to come out and just beat the brakes off of Vanderbilt?
I think they're highly motivated. I think you look at the SEC East and the SEC overall, and this is a big game. You start out of the gates with a conference opponent, and it's your first opportunity. There's so much has been made of the uncertainty at the wide receiver position. You're trying to build momentum, and this week one foe is a great opportunity to do that. So, I mean, you got to start with your foot on the gas, and hopefully by the somewhere in that second half, you can let off a little bit and start to develop some of your younger talent. I mean, that's what, in an ideal world, this game will look like. But until you get to that point, you've got to start with your hammer down. And I have no doubt that's what Georgia's planning on doing.
What's kind of funny, you know, I hear from a lot of fans on this, and I don't know if this criticism is accurate or not, but it's kind of funny that I've heard this from a few different people of that's one of the things they wish that Georgia would have shown a little bit more of the last couple of years is what they'll call like a killer instinct to basically turn a 21-point game into a 35-point game. And, you know, my response to that, John, is always, well, actually, Georgia hasn't played a close SEC East game in quite some time. They've won every division game by 14 or more points over the last 2 years. Most of those were like 20 or more points on the average anyway. And yet there are still some fans who, you know, see the opportunity to hang these really big scores on opponents the way that maybe they perceive Alabama as having done, at least in the early portion of the 2018 season. Does that matter to you? I mean, are you looking as a, you know, slash analyst, slash fan? Are you looking for the style points? Or is that the kind of thing that you're eager to see? Or do you see the ultimate objective as being somewhat different than that?
No, I'm not a fan of the gaudy numbers. It really does nothing for me. I think you can watch games and see once it's in hand. I mean, a 21-point lead over an opponent, for the most part, if you carry a 21-point lead in the second half, that game is all but over. You know, barring any kind of feel where you're thinking, oh, they're building momentum, I get it. But the gaudy numbers against a lesser opponent, that says nothing. You're a better team. I get that. Alabama's faced a number of teams. Oregon, back in the day when they used to have that high-speed offense where they could put up 70 on opponent. Okay, against a lesser opponent, you can do that. But to me, that's not a good gauge when you're going best on best and you're talking about the top five, six teams in the country. no one's able to do it. So kicking a dog while it's down may be flashy for fans, and you get a little more bragging rights at the corner of the bar, but it doesn't hold a lot of weight when you're talking about the best teams in the country. That's not a good gauge to me.
I don't know how much of the Florida-Miami game you get to see on Saturday, but for me, it was a validation of what we've been saying about Florida now for a while. This is still a team that I believe that has a shaky quarterback, and Franks appeared to be that way against Miami on Saturday. They are going to do some things defensively well, even against what might be a bad Miami offensive line. I think the Florida pass rush is for real. Jabari Zuniga, in other words, one of those really good individual players there in that regard. But, you know, John, you said as part of our Own the East video series when we recorded those that you didn't see a threat to Georgia and the SEC East, Florida included. And I think that the game from the Gators on Saturday kind of validates that point of view as well, doesn't it?
I could agree more. I think you look at the numbers from the game, and I always picture myself, what if I that was my team, and you'd be excited about the sack. So that's a point of pride. You got double-digit sacks. And you look at the opponent they're playing, and Miami has a very green offensive line that struggled at times. And then if Felipe Franks is your quarterback, then you have to have some serious concerns. Can he make plays? Yeah, he can. But who in the SEC can't? It's more about the decisions he makes and the mistakes that he continues to exhibit to be a part of his game. I'm a guy that if you have to take the good with the bad better not be so bad.
Yeah.
And with Felipe, he continues to make these decisions from, the quarterback position is the most vital position on the field because you touch the ball every play. And you have to value that. And to me, I just don't see his decision-making as progressed from last year. Now, there's still room for improvement. Yep, I get that. But if you're a top-10 team, that would be a major concern for me. And then also, they come in with a vaunted run game with P. Ryan and the rest of the crew, and I didn't see that either.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of pieces of their game that I think the talk before the season was saying these pieces have improved and these are our cornerstones, and I didn't see it. So it's just one game. I get it. But I stand by what I said before the season started, that they don't seem like a genuine threat to me for a battle for the East.
Well, you know, I want to be, kind of clear about this as well in an effort of being fair and balanced. I get kind of what Mullen's trying to do post-game a little bit in the fact that he's trying to build up Felipe Franks' confidence, and we see that from coaches from time to time where, you know, pats on the back may be viewed as more effective than not. And yet at the same time, when you were appearing to be over-celebrating, I think that Franks was guilty of this on Saturday night. I think that Mullen may have been a little guilty of this as well. When you come across as over-celebrating a win in which your team played no better than average, that to me is not a good look. And you better believe, John, if you and I are talking on a Monday after a Georgia win when they squeak by, you know, some opponent that's in a kind of a rebuilding mode the way that Miami kind of is, and, you know, you got Kirby Smart saying, well, a win's a win. That's all I really care about. A lot of Georgia fans are not going to be too happy about that either. So that's the kind of thing that I think Georgia fans want to measure their own program a little differently, and I think they're glad to have a coach in Kirby that just sounds different when he talks.
Yeah, and it's perspective, and it's where you stand. And right now, that's probably what Florida needs to hear. They're trying to build confidence and have – you got to have a little swagger. You got to have that feel that we have it in our locker room, and – even when you don't. And I think that's where Florida's at right now. I don't think they have the same forces in the stable as some of these top teams that like Georgia. So you have to build the confidence and try to get the guys to play above what they appear to be on paper. And, you know, that's part of the gamesmanship that you see from head coaches across any league is, you identify your strengths. You identify what you have in your team. I think they do have talent. I mean, don't hear me say that they're a bad team, but I just don't think they're on the level that they want to be, and they're trying to inflate that and put their name in a hat that they don't really belong.
John, let me finish with this on a different topic, if you don't mind. You know, Bill Norton gets arrested on suspicion of DUI on Saturday. That's a freshman defensive lineman, not a guy that's probably huge in Georgia's plans this year, and yet it doesn't change the overall scenario that Georgia fans don't like seeing their players show up on headlines for a reason like this. Also know that temptations of Saturday nights in downtown Athens is a part of the college experience, and learning how to manage that and deal with that is a part of all of this. So as a guy who is not just a good player but a leader on the team and a guy that probably helped a lot of young people navigate the experience of, you know, how do you go to downtown Athens without having something you're going to regret on Sunday morning, what do you say in this regard, and what can you tell us about what's in place? Now, you're in college pre-Uber Lyft days. It was taxi cabs back then. But just when it comes to the infrastructure that's in place, what would you assume that's kind of, you know, there for Norton to avail himself? And, you know, how does a program deal with a very attractive college town, downtown scene, you know, only a few steps from its campus and a few steps from its stadium? How does Georgia manage this effectively?
Well, you hit it. And Georgia has had a nightlife for quite some time now, and sadly, it's not uncommon for undergraduates who may not be of age to drink on a Saturday night. I mean, it's not exclusive to football players. I think the discouraging piece is the driving after you've had some drinks, which is a terrible idea, whether you're 19, 20, or 30, it doesn't really matter. You know, not only are you making a bad decision for yourself, but you're jeopardizing those you're around. And I think with the resources that are available at the University of Georgia, that, you know, that's a mistake you just can't make. And hopefully he learns from it. It's a one-time blip on the radar, but there's so many resources available for student athletes and really just students of the University of Georgia in general. With, I mean, just call Uber. Everybody's got the app.
Right.
It's not worth it. It's just not worth it. So, bad decision by Bill, and you hope he learns from it, and really you hope the rest of the team learns from it, because it's a bad choice no matter who you are across the board to drink and drive. And you can't chalk that one up to just being young and dumb and making bad choices. That's something that there's too many good options available for you to decide, I think I can risk it. It's not worth it.
Well, John, I know your passenger rating as an Uber is about 5 stars, so we appreciate you being with us on Dog Nation Daily today. And before we let you go, let me remind folks that this week we have a brand-new show debuting, which I'm really excited about. You and me breaking down the upcoming game for the Dogs. We're going to call it the Marlowe's Matchup. It's brought to you by our friends at Marlowe's Tavern. We'll have a look at the Vanderbilt Commodores this week and how Georgia can get off to a 1-0 start. John, the response I get to your analysis is always of, you know, quite stellar. People love hearing your thoughts on the Dogs, so I can't wait to do the Marlowe's matchup with you here this season.
Oh, it's going to be a blast. I'm looking forward to it. The fans are always fun, too, at the Marlowe's. They ask great questions, and, you know, we have a good time and eat good food. So how can you beat that?
Yeah, John, it's going to be a great time. We'll look forward to seeing you there for that this week, and we'll talk to you here on Dog Nation Daily very soon again as well.
Look forward to it.
Good stuff there from John Stinchcomb. Yes, so we're going to do the Marlowe's matchup this season each and every week. And as John said, some of that's going to include live broadcasts at Marlowe's like you've come to expect. Many of you are saying, well, when's the first one going to be? I've had several people already asking me about our Marlowe's schedule coming up. So the good news is we're only a couple of weeks away from our first one. I won't try to muddy the waters right now by telling you about that this far in advance, but it is coming up really soon. But in addition to that, we're going to have extra Marlowe's themed shows here each and every week looking ahead to each of the UGA games. So this week's edition of the Marlowe's matchup will be in studio, and in future weeks we'll be in studio and live, able to take your comments, and you can talk to John directly, interact with kind of everything that's going on there. And then a few times this year, special appearances at Marlowe's Taverns in some of our neighborhoods here around the Atlanta area. So stay tuned for more on our schedule for that. That's going to be a lot of fun. I wanted to mention something that Phil Rogers said in our Facebook comment section, because he asked a question on Facebook that kind of circles circles back around to something that John was saying off the top there. I was asking John of, hey, 21-point favorite against Vanderbilt. A lot of Georgia fans certainly like the Dogs minus those points, but also kind of look ahead to the possibility of, is this a Georgia team that wants to flex on Saturday? Is this a Georgia team that really wants to go out there and hang a big number and get off to a really impressive start? We've seen, you know, Alabama, for instance, what, 2 years ago, go into Nashville and put up a big, big number on the Commodores. Is Georgia ready to do something like that this particular Saturday? And Phil Rogers kind of asked a similar question along those lines of, well, how much does Georgia really want to pass in this game? And that's, for me, what remains to be seen. It's one of the reasons why I like Georgia minus the 21 points, but I don't know that I like a minus 41 points, if you get my drift, because I think a lot of the wide receiver core that's going to be the nucleus of what this team does along its stretch run, maybe there's motivation not quite to, you know, certainly the expectation shouldn't be to have them up to speed here week one for young guys. They're still growing in their role, still getting acclimated to college life. And so we may see less than the full complement of the Georgia offense on Saturday, not because they're hiding plays or anything like that. It's trying to stay too vanilla. And they just may not need it, and Georgia may just choose not to use more than it needs. So in other words, minus the 21 points, for now I like Georgia. Throwing enough to turn this into a 56-3 type of thing or one of those deals, I don't quite know that Georgia feels all that motivated to go out there and hang half a 100 on Saturday. But we shall wait and see how it plays out.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Boy, always love having John Stinchcomb as part of Dog Nation Daily. And something else that he said a moment ago that I think is really important for us to mention and discuss. You know, he talked about that the shakiness of the Florida offensive line, the fact that, you know, they're breaking in, what, four new starters overall? That the place that's going to show up the most is not how much they protect Franks, because Franks is fairly mobile and he's a big enough guy that he can absorb some hits. That's a guy that can protect himself in the pocket a little bit. But what we have talked about a lot during the offseason also kind of showed up a little bit on Saturday is, where's this Florida running game going to come from? You know, I don't think you're looking at, you know, major prospects back there at the running back position, with all due respect to guys like Piran and Pierce. I don't know those are upper-tier SEC running backs. Behind what is a suspect Florida offensive line right now, that's not a great running game. And I don't know how you expect to be a great team without a great running game, so that's at least worth thinking about there. Hey, before we move on, let me tell you about my friends at the UGA Alumni Association. You know, we're getting towards that time of the year where everybody's thinking about where they're going to be watching the game on Saturday and how do you settle in and enjoy this with some friends. Well, UGA Alumni Chapters are here for you to give you that place to kind of hang out and people to hang out with and enjoy the passion that comes from being a UGA fan. UGA Alumni Chapters have game-watching parties, and you can be a part of all the action with some of your fellow Bulldogs. That's a really fun thing to be able to do. Let me give you a website to go to for information on this. It's alumni.uga.edu/game-watching. Now, I know that's a little bit of a mouthful, so let me say this again. alumni.uga.edu/game-watching. You can go there and you can find out about some of the parties that are going on and some of the opportunities to get together with fellow alumni. And while you're there, you can ask about some of the fundraising efforts that are going on too. Service opportunities. You know, one of the cool things about the Alumni Association is the work they do to make the university culture and community better, both through raising money and giving time. So it's good stuff. Make sure you check that out. All right, SEC Through here. Let's do a couple of stories. I mentioned a situation involving a Georgia player. A more serious situation maybe for Tennessee defensive back Bryce Thompson. This is a story that you'll lean in on because Thompson's one of the players that's expected to be a starter for what I think is a pretty good Vol secondary right now. There's an allegation of a domestic issue, also kind of a weird quote attached from Thompson where he made a threat, you know, to insinuating gun violence against the school. I don't think he meant that necessarily. I won't presume to know what was inside of his head, but it's the kind of thing that can sound a little bit like a, you know, just kind of a hyperbole or whatever, but boy, he may really end up regretting having said that, because obviously it's not a good look for a player that I think is a pretty important member of the Tennessee Vols right now. So y'all watch this story, see where things go with Bryce Thompson here. I'd say that is a big player for Tennessee, and right now he's facing a pretty serious situation. I saw with the Miami and Florida game on Saturday got big ratings. Did I hear this right? Highest regular season game since 2016. Did I read that correctly? Pretty big ratings for this. Well, that leads me to believe that week zero is here to stay. You know, college football, once it expands, doesn't do a whole lot of contraction after that. So my guess is we're going to see a big week zero game. There were, you know, a couple more games this past weekend. Arizona, Hawaii, for instance. I think we're going to see more of this in the future, and we're just going to, I don't know if we're going to keep calling it week zero if it's something we do every year. But nonetheless, I think the rating success for Gators and Hurricanes on Saturday probably leads to more of this in the future, and I kind of don't mind it. Now, I don't know that I want to see Georgia play in the middle of the summer, but I don't really mind somebody else playing there at that time. I don't like Florida, but selling in front of the TV to watch the Gators on Saturday night, I have to say I was pretty entertained by it, even if it was kind of a ugly game. Let me give you a little bit of a preview of some of the big games that we'll be talking about a lot this week heading towards the weekend. If you're kind of just now getting acclimated to game week, here's your primer for all of that. You do have Tech and Clemson coming up on Thursday. Clemson a 36-point favorite at home there in what will be the ACC Network debut. Ole Miss is against Memphis on Saturday. Memphis is a 6-point favorite at home. This is an interesting game for Matt Luke and his future there at Ole Miss. And when it's probably a little bit more of a rival than you think there against the Tigers, that's worth watching. Alabama's a big favorite in Atlanta against Duke. Duke typically pretty good against the spread early in the season. Alabama not always a guarantee in games like this. I'm sure we'll talk a little bit this week about the Tide and the Devils. South Carolina, North Carolina is one of those huge games for an SEC team in the non-conference season. Gamecocks play a really tough schedule, you know that. And getting a win against North Carolina would be very important there. Oregon-Auburn, I think, is a great game. Missouri-Wyoming is a weird game, just given the fact that Missouri, for whatever reason, is traveling to Laramie, Wyoming, to play this game. And then the two national games we'll probably talk more about on Sunday and Monday, Houston against Oklahoma, Jalen Hurts, his debut for the Sooners, and Notre Dame against Louisville on a Monday night. That's a preview, obviously, of the big non-conference game that Georgia's going to play on September the 21st. So, y'all, we have made it. College football is here. We're talking about a game that took place on Saturday with Florida and Miami. We're looking ahead to a whole bunch of games this upcoming weekend. It is just going to be a great, great season. I can't wait to cover all of that with you right here on Dog Nation Daily. Now, let me turn your attention to something else, because I know many of you have been busy throughout the weekend. You were running around doing a bunch of stuff. You may have missed something that we dropped at DogNation.com yesterday and on the Dog Nation video channels. I am thrilled about September 7th because it's going to be the inaugural day of Dooley Field at Sanford Stadium, the field renamed in honor of the legendary Vince Dooley, 40 years at Georgia as both coach and athletic director. In honor of that moment, we had a chance to spend some time with Coach Dooley at his house recently, and it was an interview that I was very proud to have been a part of, and I want to give you a little taste of that so that you'll go to DogNation.com and read the story and watch the full interview for yourself. You know, when Dooley first took over at Georgia, the stature of the program, nowhere near as big as it is now. And yet, so much of the growth that's taken place at Georgia is because of Dooley's efforts as both football coach and athletic director. Could he have ever imagined that things would have grown to the point where they are now? I thought Coach Dooley gave a very introspective answer to that question. Take a look and listen to this.
So when you take the Georgia job, obviously things were different at UGA. They would grow to be. The Dogs had had some lean years prior to you being named coach. And I would imagine for many people it would be difficult to imagine how big the program would eventually grow to become under your leadership as both coach and athletic director. What was your vision of what Georgia could have been back then? Were you so young that you didn't really think that regard? Or did you have any kind of thought in your mind that one day the program would be of the stature that it would be before you left as coach and athletic director?
Well, I was committed to build Georgia.
Sure.
To rebuild Georgia because it had had some great times. But you're right. They had gone through some difficult times in the 50s and early 60s. Seven losing seasons out of nine in a row. I mean, that's pretty bad. To lose to Georgia Tech, your biggest rival, eight straight years, that's tough. But I also felt like that Georgia was a state with a lot of good football players, and Georgia was really just beginning to get good in all of the high schools. The coaching was getting better and better in the high schools. So we made a commitment that we were going to concentrate first and foremost on the state. In the past, They signed a lot of players from New Jersey or from Pennsylvania or from Ohio. We still signed some, but not to the emphasis in the past. But the emphasis was on Georgia. And I think by doing that, we brought all these little towns where football is so important. But we had a player that came from that town. We also inherited the town as well. So I think we did that, accomplished that. And because of that, we got off to a good start. I had some good coaches that I hired, really good coaches. And we had a bunch of players that were already here that I don't think was organized as they should be, but they were hungry. And they would hit you. They wanted to play. And they played hard, and we got off to a good start. And by the third year, we were able to win a championship, which was good for me because everybody was wondering, who in the heck is this guy? Who is this guy coming from across the Chattahoochee? And I always tell people when I think about it, and it'll never happen today, that here I was 31 years old, and I was really coaching the freshman team when I was hired, though I had been 5 years with the varsity, but I wanted some broad experience. And back in those days, freshman teams were separate, and you coached all of them. So I thought it was good for me from the standpoint professionally. So here I was, 31 years old, freshman coach, rival school, and they hire me. I think a lot of people said when they announced the new coach was Vince, they were all excited. They were thinking Vince Lombardi. But when they said Vince Dooley, they said, who in the world is that? Well, as an athletic director, which I was, there is no way I would have hired anybody with that lack of recommendation and lack of resume.
So I tell you what, you want to talk about a great experience, that chance to talk to Coach Dooley, and you should go see the full interview for yourself if you haven't had a chance to already. DogNation.com, Dog Nation video channels, the spot for all of that. To brag for a moment, you know, he takes you on a tour around his the room where he conducted the interview, kind of a parlor, kind of a family room type thing, and you know, all the memorabilia throughout the years. And y'all got to understand something. I'm a collector, and those of you who kind of see some of the stuff that we do in our Dog Nation World Headquarters studios from time to time will know that I've got Georgia memorabilia all over the studio and, you know, kind of the stuff that I've collected over the years. Well, you can only imagine after 40 years of working at Georgia, some of the stuff that Dooley's been able to collect. And to see that and hear his stories about that, and it's not all Georgia-related. Some of it's, you know, related to his travels and his other loves. Really, really good stuff. By the way, speaking of good stuff, how about the fact that it's been 1,031 days since those lousy, stinking Gators have beaten Georgia? It's our Gator Hater Updater. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Dog Nation Daily.